These are the ancient accounts, the sacred stories, the holy tales of this week's, of today's commemorations. They go something like this. Generations of enslavement for 130 years, says the text, and it abruptly ended. An impetuous Pharaoh who had for some time been relenting, then reconsidering, emancipating, then enslaving again. Suddenly, he's horrifically plagued into an utter change of heart. Go. Leave. Now. No time to prepare, chart a course, plan a route. No time even to allow their dough to rise. The bread must remain unleavened. Just go. And so they did. Left Egypt in haste. Headed out, men, women, children, flocks, herds. Remember, their unlikely leader Moses would instruct, remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then this one. Generations later, in a land under siege, humiliation and heartbreak, incapable of overthrowing the occupiers, until a strangely powerful figure emerges from an unlikely Galilean backwater. A wonder worker, full of enigmatic tales, inscrutable claims, but sounding like he just might be their Messiah, the one to come and set them free. A triumphant parade, the kind reserved for a returning victorious regent, greets his entry into the city. What they had hoped, they dare first to whisper, then sing and shout, Hosanna, here comes our King. History, our own history in this land, confirms the truth in these tales. A people enslaved here. Years of struggle, of heartbreak, of setback and disappointment. Their eyes on the prize of liberation, but nothing actually to see but unrealized ideals, unaccomplished ambitions, unbroken oppression. Then, after generations, after centuries, the determined effort of insistent activists, black and white, finally prompt a reluctant, reticent, racist president's proclamation, which only has any real meaning when that bitterest of uncivil wars ends in their emancipation. Dreams realized, hopes embodied, freedom and the promise at long last of equality. Those emancipated Hebrews breathe in the first breaths of real freedom. They remember, they ritualize the experience. Then they turn toward a land called promised. Setting out in celebration, their journey leads them immediately to an impossible impediment. A wide and foreboding sea. Similarly, the triumph of an entry leads not to a revolution, but to a late-night arrest, humiliating brutality, a horrific death. Where they thought to be laying the foundations for a whole new life of liberation, they find instead a tomb sealed tight with a stone. This sort of backlash recurs so frequently, it's almost predictable. Emancipation, even empowerment of the formerly enslaved in this land, led all too soon to a virulent, violent strain of white supremacy. Political power is viciously stymied by voter suppression. Liberation leads to a red sea of lynching. Opportunity is sealed behind a stone of oppression. Sometimes, right when it seems like the tide of history is turning, sometimes just as we begin to believe that progress is inevitable, sometimes as it appears that we are moving out from the gloomy past to where the gleam of our bright star is cast, sometimes instead, there is a sea. And a stone. In the African American Museum of History and Culture at the Smithsonian, there's an exhibit called Making a Way Out of No Way. A description explains, in this exhibition, themed stories show how African Americans created possibilities in a world that denied them opportunities. It continues, taking its inspiration from a popular African American expression, Making a Way Out of No Way explores themes of agency, creativity, and resilience through personal stories of African Americans who challenged racial oppression and discrimination and created ways out of no way. And so it has been. For all of this nation's structural and systemic efforts to oppress and suppress, to segregate, incarcerate, to exclude, redline, police, brutalize, stigmatize, still, ways have been created out of no way. The irrepressible human spirit and resolve, the irrepressible capacity for courage and creativity, the unrelenting determination to be on the way, even where there is no way, to be on the way to the freedom land. That's the truth in these ancient stories. The kind of creative, narrative truth unavailable to the literalist who either believes or belittles. These are the stories of the way out of no way. The way right through a sea where there was no way. The way right out of a tomb where there was no way. The way of safety beyond the seas. The way of love more powerful even than death. The way where women find an empty grave and set off in an alleluia of announcing, "He is not here. He has risen." The way the way where, according to the story, on the safe side of the sea, as if somehow secretly prepared for the possibility, the women all took tambourines and went out dancing. The deepest tales we humans tell, the kinds professing the really profound truths, never, ever end in stock predictability. And they all lived happily ever after. These are the kinds of tales that are always inviting us to look back, precisely so that we can see ahead, to remember as a means of fostering recommitment. They leave Egypt, face the sea. The sea divides, they cross safely. They sing and they dance, and then they turn to face a vast wilderness. They steal a view of the glorious vista. Then they begin a long walk out into the wilderness. The news spreads like wildfire. He is alive. It didn't end on that worst of all Fridays. Then maybe Sunday portends unimagined possibilities. Maybe liberation will be ours after all. They dare to dream, to hope. But in the subsequent scene, at least by one account, they are found huddled in fear behind closed doors, wondering, what next? What next? What next, nation? What next, North Carolina? What next, Charlotte? What next, Unitarian Universalism? What next, Unitarian Universalist Church of Charlotte? Only by ignoring the whole of human history could we ever imagine that this was going to be easy, comfortable, that it was never going to ask anything of us. Only by forgetting the truths of these ancient tales could we ever imagine that Exodus and Easter are the last chapter, that it all leads to dancing and to singing hallelujah. Only by embodying the most privileged of positions could we ever imagine that one occupant in the Oval Office would set things right. Or that only with another have things suddenly gotten hard. Oh, how desperately we need in these days the far deeper wisdom of the long oppressed, of the long marginalized, of the long, long suffering strugglers who have only ever known the journey over a way that with tears has been watered, the journey treading a path through the blood of the slaughtered. Despair, despondency, paralyzed indecision are luxuries only known by the privileged, for whom too little is actually at stake. Yes, a wilderness awaits us. You've probably figured that out by now. Yes, we will at times be huddled around our agonizing anxieties. But emboldened anew by those who discovered again and again a way where there was no way. Let us, following the leadership of all such, let us march on and on and on till earth and heaven ring with the harmonies of liberty.